Cool.
Welcome to Your File. My name is Kate Walker.
And I'm Catherine Rory.
Hi, Kat.
Hi, Kate.
This week, we have a really special guest.
Yay.
She is one of our favorite Instagram follows, Annie Replogal. Hello, Annie.
Hi, you guys. Thank you so much
How
for having
you?
Me.
Of course. Thanks for being here.
Annie is like, when did we start following each other? Like, we were mutuals on social.
Right. For years.
Maybe like 2 years.
2020 or 2021, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely a few years ago.
Annie is such a great follow because of her love of wine. And we followed her because she has such amazing, knowledgeable content of wine that is beautiful to look at as well. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, her content is beautiful. She's a beautiful, beautiful person. So we started following Annie because of her account, Vin Concierge.
Yes.
And Annie, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and Vin Concierge?
Of course. So I'm Annie. I'm a food and wine lover whose passions for all things Italian brought me to Rome, Italy. I'm a luxury travel designer. So I design itineraries for Americans coming to Rome. And I also have a side business, Vin Concierge, where I curate Italian wine recommendations, food pairing suggestions, including recipes that I've tested by myself and know and love. And I also write for a number of food, wine, and travel publications as well. And I just launched a new venture with my boyfriend called Fed and Ginger, where we do cooking classes and wine tastings at our home. Trastevere.
So cool. Oh, Trastevere.
Wait, I should come. I should take
yes,
my family.
Please. 100%.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Organize it. Yes.
Oh my God, this is so exciting. Okay, I'm definitely going to have to do this. So Annie, I think we followed you when you were still living in New York City, right?
Yes.
But you're not from New York originally, right?
No. So I grew up in Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C. And then right after college, I moved to New York City because it had always been a dream of mine, you know, growing up, a young girl.
Me too.
You visit with your family, you watch movies that take place there, TV shows, read books. So I always knew I wanted to move to New York. And so after college, I graduated. I lived at home for a year to save up money. And then I made the big move. So in 2013, I moved to the city and lived in Manhattan in the West Village, if you're familiar. Favorite neighborhood.
Well, so you don't live in New York anymore.
Yeah.
Tell us about your move to Rome and how that happened and everything.
Okay, so it's a long story that I'll try to make short, but it was always my dream to live in New York, but to back up a bit, I studied abroad in Florence, Italy, like every American. But I was a language major in college, so I majored in Spanish and minored in Italian. I've always been obsessed with other languages, like foreign language, culture, music. In fact, the reason I decided to major in Spanish was when I was in seventh grade, I started teaching myself Spanish. It's a funny story. My mom got my brother and I into tennis when we were like nine. And we would not only play tennis, but watch all of the Grand Slams. And I remember watching this professional Argentinian tennis player. And I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. I was a really realistic child. So I was like, I'm going to marry this guy. He does not speak English, so I need to start learning Spanish.
Wow.
Girls.
Yes. You had a plan.
I had a plan.
I was motivated. And so I begged my parents for Rosetta Stone, like begged them. And then for Christmas,
like
they gave it to me. Like you'd stick it into the Mac computer. And I would spend hours on the computer learning Spanish when I was like, in seventh grade.
This
I can't remember how old
incredible.
I was in seventh grade.
I love this. Wait, what was his name? What was his name? Do you remember?
It was Guillermo Coria. Okay. And like looking back now, I'm like, I don't see it. I don't know what I saw in him. I mean, no, he's a
like,
good
I don't know
guy,
who that person was that was attracted to him.
I guess like he's not, I could say he's not really my type right now, but back in the day, I thought I would marry him. So then we got married and then, no, I'm just kidding. So then I went to college and majored in Spanish, minored in Italian, but I didn't study abroad in Spain because my college didn't offer a semester in Barcelona, which is where I wanted to go. They only offered, I think it was Valencia or Salamanca, and it just didn't appeal to me. So I was like, you know what, why don't I study abroad in Florence instead?
Yeah.
And little did I know that was a move that would change my entire life.
Oh, chills. Oh, I just got chills. I love things like that.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy looking back how like that one small like twist of fate. Exactly. So I studied abroad in Florence, and it was the first time I had ever been to Europe, let alone Italy. And I really mean it when I say like the minute my feet touched the ground, my life changed. Like I instantly felt this sense of connection with the place. And I was immediately in love with the country, the people, the sights, the sounds, the food and the wine, of course. And when I was over there, I took a wine course under the tutelage of Diletta Frescobaldi of the Frescobaldi. Do you know the Frescobaldi family? They're a big winemaking family in Tuscany. They produce really good wine. They're a noble family, and they had vineyards all across Tuscany. So during this class, we would get to visit their vineyards and learn about like the science just opening behind this winemaking.
Whole world. Yeah.
Yeah. What a dream. It was insane. And then during class, we would do blind tastings. So of course it ended up being my favorite class and my highest grade. Yeah. No surprise there. And so when I left Italy and like, I basically continued my love for wine. I'd be the girl like showing up with a bottle of wine at college and you know, at the frat party in college. And
Totally.
Post-graduation, I fulfilled my dream of moving to New York City. And Kat, you may relate to this having lived in New York. So I worked in tech sales too. I forgot to mention. Okay. So I didn't get into wine. I didn't really know a career in wine existed.
It's like a hobby.
When I was in college. Exactly. Yeah. Like I have none of my family's in the hospitality industry. I come from a family of creatives. Like my mom and dad are both entrepreneurs. My mom's an interior designer. My dad owned his own advertising firm. My brother's like content strategy, communications, marketing. So I didn't really know careers in wine existed. I graduated college, immediately got into tech sales.
The grind.
Exactly.
In the city.
So you see where this is going. Like, so I spent 5 years in New York selling for tech startups, which was really rewarding. And I met some of my best friends at these companies who to this day I'm still so close to, and they'll come visit me in Italy, of course. But after 5 years, I just was not, I kept feeling this perpetual void. Like I was not fulfilled, no matter how much money I was making, how many promotions, you know, and life was great. I really had a great life in New York, but like you said, it's a grind.
Yeah.
Especially when you work in tech sales. I basically kept feeling like there's got to be more to life than this. And this feeling kind of kept growing. And then one day my mom sent me a book called Designing Your Life. And I opened up this book, and it's by, I think, Bill Burnett and Dave Evans are the authors. They both went to Stanford, and it's kind of tips and tricks on how to create a life that's fulfilling. So I started doing the exercises, started reading, and I realized a lot of my passions were all surrounded by like food, wine, and travel in Italy. And it inspired me to sign up for wine courses during the evening to try to like fill that void and, you know, have another hobby. So I signed up for like the Court of Master Sommelier exam, WSET.
Wow.
And started like, reading about wine. I remember the first book I picked up. I don't know if you guys have read any wine books before. If not,
no,
there's
one
called-
It's a whole world thing I don't really know much about. I enjoy it. I sip, but like, this is why I'm like, any knowledge you have to share, like, I love hearing about this.
Sure. So the first book that I picked up was called The Wine Bible by Karen McNeil. And I remember finishing the first chapter. And after that, I was like, this is it. Like, I love this. This fuels me. And so in the evenings, I would spend my time, I would go to work all day, come home and learn about wine, you know, study, read books, listen to podcasts, go to wine bars, taste different wines. I should also say this kind of coincided with, I don't know if any of you are spiritual, more religious or spiritual.
Absolutely.
I'm very spiritual.
I was going to ask what your sign was.
I'm a Gemini.
You're a Gemini. Whoa, that's why you're such a good talker.
Yes.
Am I?
You're such an amazing talker.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed.
So eloquent. I know. Yeah. I was like, wow, she needs a podcast.
You guys are too. What are your signs?
I'm a Leo.
I'm an Aries.
Love it.
Fire. For fire fueling the fire.
Lots of fire. Here. Yeah, I know. Like it. Disorganized, chaotic. Like that is, yeah.
Good mix. Good mix. As I said, like I would go to work every day, but I was not fulfilled. Like I was just kind of in this, like just the state, you know, everyone goes through phases of life. I was in that phase of life where I was like, there's got to be more to this. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking home from work back to my apartment and I would pass this meditation center like every day. Mm-hmm. And then one night I was like pulled to go in there mm-hmm. for some reason. I'd never meditated in my life, but I was kind of feeling down and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go in. I took a meditation course with the proprietor of the meditation mm-hmm. center. It wasn't a private course either. It was a public course anyone could join. And it was the first time I had ever meditated. And for me, it was mind blowing. Like just mm-hmm. to sit, you know, you're in this rat race. You go into this room, you sit in silence. It was a guided meditation too, which was helpful because I had never done it before.
Yeah, I prefer that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same, because mm-hmm. sometimes you get lost in your thoughts.
Oh, and, I can't say myself.
I know. Yeah. And it takes a lot of work and practice. Yes. So like for the first time, it was nice to have this man who knew what he was doing, guiding all of us. And I came out of that meditation center and I was a different person. Like I kind of just put into perspective, like what's important in life and what's not. And also just like taught me to slow down. And I was really searching for clarity at that time in my life. And this kind of gave me that avenue of like sitting in silence, 10, 20 minutes a day. The session was, I think it was close to an hour, mm-hmm. but nobody has time for that every single day. So like, even when I wasn't going to the center, I would just sit at home and meditate and really self-reflect. And it gave me a lot of clarity of like where I wanted mm-hmm. to go, what I liked, what I didn't like, what wasn't fulfilling me in the city. Mm-hmm. So that combined with me going to these wine courses really like fueled just a sense of like me wanting to create a life for myself that it didn't feel like it was in New York, but I didn't know where at the time. I just knew I needed a change. Mm-hmm. So I pass the wine exams and then mm-hmm. I reward myself on a trip to Greece. Have you guys been to Greece, by the way?
I have,
listened to your podcast about Greece. Okay.
I haven't. Like,
okay. I have.
Well, someday. You fooled me because based on both of you speaking about Greece, I feel like you've been there. Plus like the Instagram aesthetic. But and I feel like I always see you guys posting about Greek food. Like you made the soup the other day.
I know. That was very good. I was proud of myself for that one.
I have been to Greece, but I went in March and it was like,
interesting.
No, nothing was open. Like we went to a few like islands and nothing was open. We went to Athens, which was great, but mm-hmm. it's like
off season.
I need to go again. Yeah.
You need to go back. Mm-hmm. I went on this trip with three girlfriends and we went mm-hmm. to the main, like Santorini, Athens, mm-hmm. Mykonos. It was our first time, mm-hmm. but we had this experience in Santorini. We planned a wine tour one day where we basically spent the day with this tour guide visiting different vineyards, doing wine tastings. And there's one thing to study wine and read about wine, but there's mm-hmm. another thing to like be in the vineyards, touching the soil, smelling it, looking at the bush vines. You're tasting the Assyrtiko mm-hmm. grapes straight off the vine.
Yeah. Meeting the people making it.
Exactly. Like, hearing their stories, seeing them exude all this passion and love. And mm-hmm. so for me, that really changed things. Our tour guide, I remember she was telling me the story about how she left her corporate job in Athens to pursue her passion for wine. And now she lives in Santorini and her life is dedicated to wine. And it really mm-hmm. resonated with
me. You're kind of like, mm-hmm. that's a little yeah. something.
I was like, that's what mm-hmm. I've been feeling. And like hearing her story, kind of fueled that fire. Mm-hmm. So after the wine tour, I remember waking up the next morning and I'm the type of person, I don't know if you guys are similar, like I like to wake up early on vacation and watch the city wake up.
Especially
if I'm in a new mm-hmm. place. So like I would wake up early and mm-hmm. I would like sit on the terrace mm-hmm. journaling and then I would go get my coffee and my yogurt.
Yeah.
And I remember going out on the terrace of our Airbnb, and I had never had an epiphany before. Of course, I knew what an epiphany was, but I never had like an epiphanic moment.
Right.
And I go out on this terrace, I'm looking out at the sea, and something strikes me, and I'm just like, wow, life is too short to be sitting behind a computer screen with a headset on, not doing anything I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a whole world out there. And I felt like it was beckoning me to come explore it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got back from this trip. I called my family. I'm like, I'm quitting my job. I'm not renewing my lease. And I'm going to pursue my passion for wine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, oh, this is making me emotional.
I know.
This is so conversations that Kate and I have had, are having, like everyone can relate to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like there's a point in life where you just, you know that something else is out there and you can't, and you just want to reach
pulls
for
you.
It. Yeah.
It pulls, exactly. It really shakes you to realize it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you have to be open to it.
But
if you're not following your right path, life will shake you.
So
and
true.
Be like, listen to me.
Wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it did to me on this trip. Mm-hmm. And I'm a very, you guys don't know me too well, but I'm a very stubborn person. So like if I decide I want to do something, there's no stopping me. And my family knows that. And luckily they were very supportive. I mean, they were a bit like, I had just gotten a promotion at work and a raise. So they were a bit like, are you sure you want to do this?
Right.
Pick up your entire life.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Like rational. And you're like, goodbye.
Yeah.
it's time for me to go. I'm not playing around.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to go to Italy and work at a winery. And they're like, great. Who do you know in Italy? And I was like, I had no connections. At the time.
Who do you know in Italy?
Like, I just know I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I will know people in Italy. That's the thing. I will know people.
Exactly. And also, that's the thing about living in New York. It gives you that hustle and it gives you that confidence. And I felt like, okay, I could make it. They say, like, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I really felt like, okay, I could find the email of all the, like, not all, obviously, there's thousands and thousands of wineries in Italy, but like the top 100 wineries in Italy, I could find the owner's email and write them an email in Italian about myself, what I want to do, my CV.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I wrote to 100 different wineries all across the country, mainly in Tuscany, but north to south.
Yeah.
And I wrote in like my very broken Italian at the time, like a little paragraph about myself, attached my resume, got a few responses, and one in particular offered me an internship, this little boutique winery in the heart of Chianti Classico called Casa Sola. So a few weeks later, I packed up all my things and I moved to Chianti by myself.
So when was this? Well, like what year?
This was September 2017.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So I go to the winery and this experience was amazing. I was working, I did the harvest, both the grape harvest, but also the olive oil harvest, which is really exciting.
Yes. Fascinating.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's tough work. Gosh, I have so much respect
for
people who do
labor.
Harvest.
Yeah.
It is, it's tough.
Yeah.
And then I did a little bit of work, more like watching what the cellar workers did, but also doing tours and tastings and doing marketing, their social media, translations, a little bit of everything. So it was a really well-rounded internship.
Mm-hmm.
Met some incredible people along the way.
Yeah.
And have you guys been to Chianti? Have you been to Tuscany?
I have been to Chianti.
Have you been to it? Okay, you've been to Chianti.
Yes, I studied abroad in Rome for a year, like a school year. And then we went back, two years ago. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Wait,
and
I think I remember that.
It was my first and only time
missed each other.
There.
Yeah. Yes, we missed each other. Yeah. And then last year we went to France, but we missed Italy last year. Yeah.
Your trip to France looked amazing. I loved
it was great. But I loved Rome. I lived in Trastevere.
Oh my gosh.
And I went to John Cabot.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, all the American students go there. that was my first time where I had that experience where I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Yep.
I had never been happier. Like I had never had such ease to be happy someplace.
Exactly.
And it's because Italians show you how to live by example.
Exactly. And you don't feel guilty being happy, right? Like, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to live a slower, happier life, indulging in all the good things, simple but good things life
and
has
like
to offer.
The passion too. It's like there is passion in everything Italians do. And I found that so inspiring. I don't know if you have ever done this, but I looked up my astrocartography chart. My sun line goes right through Rome. And I didn't know that.
That makes sense.
And I was like looking that up and I was like, oh, that makes sense. That makes total sense. And one was like, I also had an epiphany when I went to Mexico, and in that city, it was my sun line too. So I was like,
interesting.
This is crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
This is crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a coincidence.
No, it's not.
It's real.
Crazy. Feel it. Surreal. You know it. The energy changes around you. Mm-hmm. And I think it hits different people in different points in their life, but it definitely shows you. It's just like reading a book almost, where you get like different lessons each year. You might read it just because you're not the same person that read it initially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally feel so true. There's also this quote I love, that it's like, life is a book and those who don't travel only read the first page. And I love that, because traveling really opens up your mind to different cultures, a different way of living. Mm-hmm. And it helps you like learn about yourself and, you know, what resonates with you and what you like and what you don't like, and what kind of life you want to create for yourself and live for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Chianti, I had that, you know, I had been to Italy before, but this was my first time in Italy solely focused on wine, and it was amazing. I soaked up every second. I traveled on the weekends. I tried to learn as much as I could in the winery. I met so many people, and I was pretty shy growing up. Once I moved into the wine industry, I guess moving to New York helped tamper my shyness, but also getting into the wine industry, like being a novice, not really knowing anything, not having connections, I really had to put myself out there. Mm-hmm. I really had to force myself to network, speak to people, also being in a foreign country.
Yeah, so that's a big adjustment.
Yeah, really kind of brought me out of my shell and taught me how to, I guess, be a lot more outgoing and social. And now I'm very social and outgoing, and it feels so innate to me. But growing up, it wasn't always like that. So I blame, New York, but also living abroad for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And I'm sure your language skills developed so quickly.
Yeah.
You're throwing in a short amount of time. Yeah, absolutely. How long was that internship for?
It was for 3 months. And there were many workers who didn't speak any English. So it forced me to speak Italian. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I had the time of my life. I got back from that trip, and then I was like, okay, now I have to search for a job. But while I was in Italy, I had found out about this company, Pernod Ricard, which is a French company based in Paris. Mm-hmm. And they were hiring for a wine ambassador. And part of the program was like, we're going to send you to Australia, New Zealand, and Spain, and Sonoma, California, to train you for 4 months. And then you'll either be placed in Los Angeles or Dallas, Texas. So I discovered about this job. I applied. I knew I wanted to like live and work in Italy, but I also felt like it wasn't time yet. Mm-hmm. And I had done a little bit of like job hunting, but in terms of like the salaries and whatnot, I was like, okay, I think I need to get my feet wet a little bit more in America.
Yeah. And still a good opportunity with like a nice, great company on your resume, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I interviewed for that job, and the interview process was crazy. You had to jump through hoops, and then they flew out like the final candidates to Sonoma, and you had to do this huge presentation in front of like the entire team.
Crazy.
And they chose two people, and you had a say in which city you wanted to live in, but like ultimately they would choose. And I asked for LA, so did the other candidate. And luckily they placed me in LA. And I ended up accepting the job and traveling, living in Sydney, Australia, Barossa Valley, which is like the middle of nowhere, Australia, where all the vineyards are. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. But it's
Annie, that's
countryside.
Amazing.
So cool.
What a great opportunity.
this job doesn't exist anymore. This role, they don't set. But it was, I feel so lucky that I discovered it.
It was meant for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're like, again, in the vineyards, meeting the winemakers, learning the stories about the different wines, their passions, their backgrounds, their families. And we went to Australia, New Zealand, Spain. And then I moved to LA for the
job. Oh my gosh. Where did you live in LA?
I lived in West Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Where are you guys? Like in Hollywood.
Yeah. Okay.
Like not far East Hollywood.
Where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do you guys like living there? What are your thoughts on LA?
Yeah. Not forever.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But definitely a great chapter.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I did an internship like in LA or in New York, and I had so many friends in New York and knew it would be a great thing, but it was almost like your story where it was like, I'm not ready, or it's not calling me yet. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. I don't know. It never spoke to me. I wanted it to be this like fantasy vacation land for me.
Yep.
Like I love to visit, love, mm-hmm. like love going downtown, you know, like mm-hmm. love going to the West, you know, the West Village, and like, you know, all my friends lived like Upper West Side, you know, it's like, it's just like, playtime, fake time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I wanted somewhere with really good weather. I went to mm-hmm. school in the South. So I was like, I can't do Wisconsin anymore. I can't, mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. can't do it. And I need somewhere that is multicultural. Mm-hmm. I knew that. So I was like, I can't go somewhere that's, you know, so it was LA. Like LA was the only option
calling
for me.
Your name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And LA feels more European paced, like slow, healthy, like more focus on like work-life balance than New York.
And you pick your experience, I feel like, whereas New York is kind of, you kind of have to play the game a little bit more. Mm-hmm, I feel like, I don't know. Yeah.
No, that's very
true. It just depends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do agree with you. It does feel a little bit more, I don't know, like if you kind of combine LA and New York, it would be Europe, because mm-hmm. LA, you have the beautiful scenery, the mountains, the desert, the ocean.
Yeah.
Lots of beautiful nature. New York, you have, and I guess in LA too, like that, you have Italians, you have like those small, cozy little restaurants that feel, mm-hmm. that bring you back to Europe.
And the walkability of New York, I miss
the walk
a lot.
Yeah. A lot.
That was one thing I struggled with in LA, the amount of driving, because my job, I had to drive at least like 4 hours a day. I lived in a car, basically.
Yeah.
That's brutal, honestly.
Yeah. The commuting will, that we'll changes your experience immensely, for
it
sure.
It does. It does. Yeah. And I didn't know anyone out there. Too bad I didn't know you guys.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Sad.
I know. Well, I'll meet you in Rome.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. So yeah, I only lasted a year in LA.
Yeah.
But I did spend a summer, do you know Corona Del Mar?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I spent a summer there, which I loved. I would like run on the beach every day. Mm-hmm. I would like read, and I was still working. My job was essentially to cover the entire like Southern California territory.
Okay.
I would go to restaurants, meet with SOMs, wine buyers, taste them on wines, do events, pop-ups. Mm-hmm. It was fun, but Pernod Ricard has a line of very commercial wines, which are great, but I was starting to get, living in LA, kind of starting to get into that more like natural wine movement, artisanal wines.
Yeah.
So after a while, I really missed New York too. Mm-hmm. All my friends were in New York. My family like is on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up moving back to New York after a year and got a job with an Italian wine importer. And then once I was back in New York working in Italian wines, I would start traveling to Italy pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, I'm sure this is like you guys, every time you go to Europe, every time I would go and come back, I would never want to leave. And I just would obsess over it. Like thinking like, I don't want to be back here.
It hurts.
Yes,
I know.
It's painful.
And I feel like sometimes before you even go, you're kind of like, I know this is going to happen to me. Like, I know
you prepare
yourself. It's going to rock me again. Mm-hmm, like, just like every time I go.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
The more times you go,
it's
very
emotional.
I know.
I ended up taking this court, this is an amazing opportunity, which is available to anyone who's interested in Italian wines. It's called, so there's a fair every year in Italy, a wine fair, the biggest one called Vinitaly. I don't know if you've heard of it. It takes place in Verona every April. Thousands and thousands of wine producers gather, and people in the trade, buyers, even wine enthusiasts, journalists. And you go and you get to taste wines, meet the winemakers, learn about, again, there's, it's a very crowded, fast-paced event. So, but sometimes you can sit down, have a private tasting. It's wonderful. So this Vinitaly has the Vinitaly International Academy, which is run by their managing director, Stevie Kim. She created this course called the Italian Wine Ambassador Course. And essentially it's this court, really intensive course and exam. It's harder than the SATs.
Stressful.
Hardest exam I've ever taken. And I've done like the WSET Court of Master Sums. Like this was another level. So they basically train you. They give you, I took it during near COVID. So I don't know exactly how it works now, but essentially you could watch hours and hours of videos filmed by these two professors. Henry and Sarah teach the course, and they're like these Italian wine experts. So you learn about Italian wine, and it's not just learning about Italian wine, but learning about every single Italian wine region, which by the way, is every single region in Italy. All 20 regions in Italy produce wine. And you're learning about the soils, the climate, like the topography, the grapes, like the thickness of the skins. There's over 500 native grape varieties in Italy. And you're essentially learning the ins and outs of everything. And being quizzed on it.
That is not for the weak of heart. That has got to be really dedicated.
You have, that's why I really recommend like the course for anyone who's obsessed with Italian wine. It's, it again, oh my God, it was so, so intense, but rewarding. So I went to Verona to take the exam. And part of preparing for the exam was, which I feel like you guys do yourselves and would love, hosting dinner parties. I decided
that's my homework.
I was like, I need to make studying fun. So every weekend I would pick a different wine region and I would make a dish like native to that region. Cause as you guys know, every region in Italy has their own native dishes, and wines, of course. So I would pick a few wines to pair with the dish, have friends over, and we would do dinner at dinner parties.
Love and that.
That was
You should do like a series.
I know. I really should. I feel like me, the Fed and Ginger business idea with my boyfriend is kind of that, like having people over, cooking with them, teaching them how to make like native Roman dishes and then pairing wines with them and like gathering at our table for hours, eating, drinking, conversing.
Absolutely. I feel like
there's nothing better than that.
No.
I love that. That's so exciting.
I've always loved the art of entertaining because my parent, like growing up.
It is an art.
And I got to Verona and long story short, I got like strep throat, had a huge, foot injury right before having to take, I spent the night in the ER the night before the exam. Ended up passing. I don't know how. It was a miracle.
You're prepared. You did the work.
I felt prepared. Yeah. I had done a lot of studying. But it was a funny adventure. And then as part of becoming an Italian
wine
ambassador,
things are meant to be, really. You can't you can't stop
nothing
it. That's a force.
That.
It was funny. It was crazy. And I was like, if I pass this, it's gonna be a miracle. And then it happened. And I'm so glad I passed because once you pass, they basically reward you on these annual trips to different wine regions, like all expenses paid. They organize everything.
Get out.
Yeah. So like the year after or 2 years after, I went to Sicily and they to Taormina, Etna. We went to Taormina Gourmet, which is essentially where food and wine lovers and people in the food and wine business come and they do live cooking shows and tasting. And then we went to Etna and we were visiting all of, which is my favorite wine region. Do you guys?
I think that's mine too. I think that's mine too. I really do love like a minerally white, like Sicilian wine. I really do. And our friend Kendall, she also, what would you say, Kendall? Like she like studied wine making.
Yes, and she has made wine in Italy
at Davis,
well.
Right? I think.
Oh, yes. Davis. Yes. Yeah, UC Davis is huge for enology.
Yeah. And so she worked at this really popular wine shop in LA, and we just became friends with her because we would go there every week.
The wine shops,
and she was like, "Kate, you like this? This is your region.
This is you.
You like this?
Yeah. Love that." So you guys have to book a trip to Sicily because
I would love to.
Drinking it in LA is one thing, but then when you're in Sicily drinking an Etna Bianco by the sea or like with the winemaker, it's another level of enjoyment.
Yeah. Sometimes I even just like tear up thinking about this stuff.
Yeah. Like, I'm salivating. Like,
I know
you've been in the sun all day.
Yeah.
You're a little sweaty.
Yeah,
like because you've been walking all around you, the smell of like the sea
looking forward on to this. You,
yeah,
and, like a crisp glass of that. Oh,
there's nothing as the sun is setting, and well, there's like
I'm
the
so
cool
excited for summer.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're having seafood like
spaghetti alle vongole. Oh my, or with botarga shaved on top. There's nothing better than that. Yeah, the Mediterranean in the summer.
It's enough to convert you.
I know. By the end of this podcast, I predict you guys will have your flights booked.
to
Italy for the summer.
Do you have any trips planned other than?
Yes. So I am going to. Well, I'm going to Puglia next weekend. I'm writing an article.
That was such a pleasant surprise when we went.
Yes.
I had never been.
Yes. I forgot you guys went too. Yeah. I feel like that summer we had just like we missed
each
other.
I texted you or messaged you. Yes. Yeah.
It's too bad. I was there with my mom, who you guys would love. She's like the life of the party. She's great. Yeah. And we went to Puglia together and spent like 2 weeks in Puglia.
Wow.
Did like Matera, Rome, Naples, but most of the time in Puglia. And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Loved it there.
I loved it. It's so large too. Like it's impossible to see everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely will be going back to see more. Like I would want to go much more south than we were able to go.
Yeah. And I love the pace of it too.
Yeah.
The pace is much different. Feels different. Yeah.
It does. It does. It kind of feel, and that's kind of like the south versus north of Italy. The south is much more relaxed, in no rush. Mm-hmm. And you get there and you just feel like you can relax. And
enjoy.
I know. I do love, like, in the south when we were in Bari, we were waiting in line. I forget, it was like those what were they called, Kat? They were like the chickpea little like fried chickpea,
like penele maybe.
Yes. Or, and we were waiting in line. No Americans are in this line. Everyone is yelling at each other in, you know, Burese.
And not many people in line.
And
we were not even looked at
for
a while.
No, no. Wow. No one's looking at us. They don't care that we're waiting in line. And I was like, no, buongiorno. Yeah. Like, hi. And ignoring, who
we're
cares?
Like,
who
cares
about you?
It's too
but
funny.
They're just yelling at each other. No one is actually mad, though.
Oh yeah,
and I was
never.
Like, I love it here.
Yeah,
I love it here. Let's
we
get
just
a
like
Peroni
had our Peronis,
sit.
Yeah, sitting watching, waiting for the chance for our penele.
It's like no
penele.
One's mad. Everyone's yelling at each other. I love it here.
Yeah,
I know.
We're like, this is the South. Like this feels real.
Exactly. It's like, how can you be mad living in such a beautiful area?
No,
I mean, maybe like the sun makes you a little feisty. And like you feel the need to yell. But I just I love Southerners. And I love Southern Italy because I just feel this sense of warmth and passion, even more passion and authenticity. It's like the soul of Italy, the South, in my opinion. I mean, all of Italy is soulful and beautiful and passionate, but the South really is my preference when it comes to the country. I just, I feel it, a sense of, I don't know. I love being in sort of like a more wild, less groomed place. And it's that natural.
And it's still really nice that it's not like, it's the tourists are discovering it, or like maybe more American tourists. Mm-hmm. It still feels very authentic.
Yeah. It still feels a bit untouched compared to like a Lake Como or Tuscany, which are also extremely beautiful places. I mean, there's that quote by Giuseppe Verdi, like, you may have the universe if I may have Italy. And I live by that quote. Like, I will spend the rest of my life Traveling all throughout Italy, I'll obviously travel abroad again, of course. I want to go to Asia and see more of Europe, but I'm having so much fun just traveling within the country. I can see myself living the rest of my life like this and being
Just
fine,
doing
not
that.
ever seeing Japan or,
I get it. I get it. I
Yeah,
love
I get
it.
it. It's so different everywhere you go.
So you were in Sicily. Yeah.
Oh,
So
for
what
a while.
happened
I
after
know. I was like,
Sicily?
where were
Yes.
I'm
Okay.
sorry. We
He's like,
took
you
you on
want to
like a
know
major
how you got to move to act and actually
Okay,
stay
yeah.
in.
And actually, this is perfect because this was the month it all happened. So perfect. So
Okay.
I go to Sicily for the wine trip. And I knew I was going to be there for 10 days. And at the time, I was working remotely for this wine tech company, so I could work from anywhere. And I was like, you know what? Why don't I go spend the month in Rome and then fly to Sicily, spend 10 days, come back to Rome, fly back to America? So it's like I chose the month of October because that's when the wine trip coincided. The company was like, sure, that's fine. I worked US hours for that month. And I spent the month in Rome. And that's where things really started to click for me. After a week, I was like, I don't think I could ever see myself leaving this place. It's Rome, the Eternal City. It's like an open air museum. It was October 30th. My flight was October 31st. And I was not ready to leave. I was like,
No, not
I
doing
know.
that.
Going back to the spiritual thing, I prayed for a sign to stay. I was like, please. I felt like I needed, my heart was in Rome, but my head was like, get back. My company had been acquired. They were starting to put all these demands on us, make these changes. So my head was like, get back to New York on US soil and like, get back to
Yeah,
grinding.
figure it out.
But I don't know. I didn't, my heart was like, no, you need to stay. So I prayed for a sign the night before my flight, woke up, there was no sign. I got on the flight. I cried the whole way home. I woke up the next morning to an exit interview on my calendar.
No.
Basically everyone in my department got fired that day because of the acquisition. They let go of like hundreds of people, not hundreds. I don't know how many people exactly, but basically all of us. And I said, this is my sign.
That's it.
Like this, it came a day later, but this is my sign. A week later, I booked a flight back to Italy, back to
You're
Rome.
like, I'm free.
Of course, it was hard, right? I had rent to pay. I had an apartment in New York. You have bills to pay. It's depressing. It's worrisome. But I felt this lightness when it happened. I obviously was a bit scared, but I also was like, wow, this is the universe telling me to
Yeah,
go back
pushing
to
you.
Italy. I had been talking about moving there for years and years and years. And I didn't want to be one of those people too who always like talked about it but never did it. And I felt like this was the universe being like, it's now or never. I was single, living in New York. I just lost my job. And I was like, okay. Like, I went back to Italy with the goal of finding a job there, which is a lot harder than it sounds. And at this time, I'd built all these wine connections too. So I'm going to wine conferences, wine events. I'm, on LinkedIn, reaching out to people, sending my resume. And either the process is taking so slow, which is very Italian, right? They want to get to know you and it's drawn out, which is cute. But in my case, I was like,
You're like,
I need
I
to
need a
hurry
job.
up here.
I
Yeah, exactly.
need
And then, or I would get offers, but the salary, like I couldn't live in Rome on some of the salaries they were offering me. And so I'd been there for like a month and I was kind of starting to get really over a month. I was starting to get discouraged because I had been injured. Christmas is around the corner. I needed to go home for Christmas. And that was kind of it. Like I was like, if I don't make this happen, like I'm worried that when I get back on US soil, I won't move here. So one Sunday, I end up going to this cafe I'd never been to before. And I sit down at a table. And this guy comes up to me and basically politely tells me that I accidentally took his table. So I invite him to sit down with me. And I'm like, I'm about to leave, but you're welcome to sit. So he sits down. We get to talking. He asks what I'm doing in Rome. And I'm like, I'm actually looking for a job here. And he goes, oh, really? Like, what's your background? I'm like, sales, marketing, wine, tech. And he basically says, I'm the CEO of a travel company. I'm looking to hire someone. Send me your resume. Stop. And so I send him my resume and, like, you know, interview, have to do a few projects, and end up getting, the day I get the job offer from him coincides with, I applied for a master's in food and wine at a business school in Rome, a scholarship. Mm-hmm. The day I got the offer was the day I also got the scholarship at this business school.
Lucky, and at this lucky point, girl syndrome.
I know. Well, it's like luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And I was like, I had been preparing all my life for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, right place at the right time. It was fate that I, like, happened to go to that cafe.
And if you were, like, that still shy, introverted person, you might have not even chatted to this man.
I probably would have gotten up.
Sorry, left. Yeah. You know, like, I was thinking, exactly. What would I do in that situation? I probably wouldn't have invited him to sit down with me.
That's very true. That's very true. And thank God I did. And again, it's not even like a job I would have found on LinkedIn, because I wasn't looking at travel jobs. And so by the time I got the offer and the scholarship into the business school, I was back in America, back in New York. And I was like, well, I guess this is it. Like, I guess it's happening.
Yeah.
So I ended up moving, making the official move in April. And I've never been happier.
Yeah. Really. So it's almost a year.
Almost a year. I can't believe it. It's crazy. Yeah.
Wow, Annie, that is so inspiring.
It really is. Like, I'm, after this call ends, I'm going to, like, rethink everything.
I know.
Reevaluate.
Yeah. It was a long time coming. It was like a bump. And again, I'm sharing, like, all the good stories mostly, but it was a bumpy road. It took years and years for me to get here and, you know, realize this dream. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm here, I'm like, this is where I'm meant to be.
Yeah, you did it.
So at home, like, in my element, I love it here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have you lived in Trastevere this whole time?
The whole time. When I first moved, I was kind of bouncing from, like, Airbnb to Airbnb because I couldn't find an apartment. That's another thing. Yeah. I could not find an apartment in New York. And I don't remember in LA if it works like this too, but in New York, like, it's terrible. You want to find an apartment, you show up with a wad of cash and you basically have to, whoever puts down the money first wins.
Pretty much,
right?
Yeah. I'm make a higher offer. Most stressful experience of my life is searching for apartments in New York City and securing an apartment.
Yeah, exactly. Terrible. I do not miss it. So I'm like, okay, right. So, like, I'm kind of with that mentality, with, like, my Euro wads and being like, I'll pay an extra $100 to live. No, they're like,
who are you?
The owner wants to sit down and meet you and have a coffee. Yeah. And I was abroad in New York doing this at this point. So I was, like, FaceTiming, but it didn't have that same effect. So in one way it was extremely frustrating, but on the other hand, it's beautiful that they're like that. You know, they really want to get to know you as a person and meet face to face. So once I landed in Italy and started looking at apartments in person, it was much easier to finally get one.
Yeah.
And then I found this one in Trastevere. And when I walked in, I knew it. The light was shining.
I love your apartment.
I've never been to your apartment, obviously, but I've seen the pictures and it looks so European, so beautiful.
We tried.
I love, like, the plant, I love our apartment. The candles, everything's white, the sun coming in. Yeah, very much my vibe. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We say we're just, like, decorating like we're Italian nonas. That's the vibe.
I love it. Yeah. You guys have done a great job. Yes, white lace. Uh-huh. I'm obsessed with your apartment.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And so, I walked into this place and I knew immediately, like, this was the one. And so, I've lived here. I moved here in June. So I've been in this apartment in Trastevere since June.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I love that. And so when did you start your, like, food? What is your business called again?
Fed and Ginger. So we haven't technically, we, like, launched it, but we're, like, classes open March 16th.
Okay.
And but we have a lot of like marketing to do.
Perfect.
We're definitely organizing that, by the way. Yeah, please do.
Oh, send me so many pictures.
I know. FaceTime me. You can be on Zoom doing everything virtually.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, that would be really fun.
So we started. So when I met my boyfriend in April.
Oh yeah. Wait, can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah. Can you tell us
if you want to?
Yeah, of course. Okay. And it actually coincides with what we were just talking about. I couldn't find an apartment to save my life. Uh-huh. So I'm in New York and my mom, like a relative was visiting and my mom was telling this relative, like Annie's supposed to move to Rome, but she can't find an apartment. And so he's like, let me put her in touch with one of my ex colleagues who lives in Rome. He might be able to help her or know someone who can. So we're in touch. The colleague of his ex-colleague puts me in touch with his assistant immediately. And she becomes like my boots on the ground, helping me look for places. And then he knows that my mom and I are flying to Rome. And so he invites, because my mom came with me, of course, to help me get settled in. And, and so he invites us to a dinner with him, his assistant, friends, his wife, and his son. His son, who is my now boyfriend, Federico, we like sat next to each other at this dinner, but at the time I was actually seeing somebody else, another Roman guy.
Oh, okay.
I had met the year before cause I had spent the 3 months, you know, the year before.
And he's a hot commodity.
So we had rekindled things. So him and I were just friends to start. So like we would get coffee, we would have lunch and, you know, go to happy hour. And then me and the other guy didn't work out. And then, one night it was June, like beginning of June, I got dinner with him and the moment we kissed, everything changed and we've like been inseparable ever since. And,
love it.
A lot of our a lot of our journey was getting together every weekend and being in the kitchen cooking together, like making each other food, of course, like drinking Italian wine, sitting down for hours, eating, talking. And after many, many months of that, a few months ago, we were like kind of like fooling around with the idea like, oh, we should do like a cooking class, you know. Because we'd have like some dinner parties here, have friends and cook and drink wine and we'd love entertaining. So yeah, we basically decided, we came up with this concept, cooking classes and wine tastings. Because I don't know of anyone in Rome doing, not just, obviously there's cooking classes and wine tastings in Rome, but the two together.
Put together.
I'm not sure. So we're like, this is a cool concept. And it's a great way. And it's great because he's a local, he's from Rome. So like Americans probably wouldn't come to Italy to do a cooking class just with me because I'm American, but I do know how to cook and he's a great chef. So like he will do the cooking. I'm the sous chef. He's, you know, the Italian, he has the accent. He's what Americans want when they're cooking. And then I'm an Italian wine, certified Italian wine ambassador. So I'm really knowledgeable about Italian wine and the food pairings. And so we thought, it would be nice to just have like a small intimate gathering in our apartment, doing what we love most. Cause we do it every weekend anyways. And getting to know people.
Brilliant.
Share stories.
Oh my gosh. So. It makes sense. It just fit like a puzzle. That's so cute. Oh my God. Well, I can't wait to see where that goes for you guys.
I know.
I can't wait to do it.
I know. I can't wait for you to come over.
This is great because I was going to book something and then I was like, maybe I'll do it in Florence. Like, I don't know. Like I hadn't got to that point yet.
This will be perfect. And it's like everything you want. It's like traditional Roman appetizers, like fried Jewish artichokes. And then we hand make pasta and pair it. With like a homemade sauce and I'll make dessert and sides and we'll go to the farmer's market, pick out fresh produce, which is like 2 minutes from my apartment. Like the true Roman experience.
And
you'll get to meet the whole Walker clan.
I can't.
I know.
I'm excited.
It'll just be four of us, but
that's like, perfect.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. Cause the apartment's small. We even say like max four people. So it's perfect.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Love it. I can't wait.
Fabulous. I can't wait. I
and
know.
Then a computer propped up in the corner for me.
Exactly. No, for sure.
Like Kat just
yeah.
Looks with good.
The wine. Yeah. No, I can send you the wines ahead of time. You can go buy them and we'll do the tasting.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's cute.
I can't wait.
That's so Love cute. It. Okay, Annie, I have some quick questions for you. Just if someone has never been to Rome before, what would you say is the dish you cannot miss? Obviously, there's like so many and it's like really hard to choose. But what's the thing that you're like, this is so quintessentially Roman, or maybe like a couple that you're like, you need to try these?
Obviously, carbonara. Yeah. Rigatoni alla carbonara is my favorite, one of my favorite Roman dishes. There's many. But that's like the quintessential Roman dish.
Yeah, that's me
it's
too.
Just, yeah, yeah.
My fave.
Rigatoni, yeah. Pecorino, guanciale, pepper. That's
it. Done.
And then.
And my favorite place in the city to eat carbonara is Da Enzo, Trattoria Da Enzo, Al 29. And it's in Trastevere, pretty close to my apartment. Now, I will warn you, there's always
a line
snaked around the corner.
Yeah.
However, you can wait in line. They will serve you an Aperol spritz. And it might be like an hour and a half. But I think it's worth it because...
That's my favorite type of waiting.
Yeah.
As long as you have a drink,
if you have a drink,
who cares? Yeah.
Exactly. It's like you're at a bar almost.
Yeah.
Like you don't... It's an hour and a half. That just flew by.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, it's the quieter part of Trastevere too, which doesn't, the restaurant is bustling and it's loud and it's lively, but like you're on this really charming cobblestone street, you're drinking a spritz, you're in Italy. What else could you need?
What else do you want? Yeah.
And it's run by like two brothers and a sister who I adore. And every time I go, I see the same faces, which I love. Like the same workers have been working there for years and years, and they feel they're so warm and welcoming. And it's nothing, it's a no frills place. It's very casual.
Perfect.
And it's bustling and it's loud, and you can sit inside or outside. And it's the size of like a walk in closet, it's tiny. But it's good. And they have like really good crispy fried artichokes, carciofi alla giudia. And I love their carbonara. For me, it's the best one in the city. Okay. Crispy guanciale, like it's creamy. They serve it with rigatoni, which I love.
Yeah, I prefer that.
Me too.
They also have amazing tiramisu. I love their tiramisu.
Okay.
So it's a great way to finish the night. And
it
feels like Rome. Like it's nothing fancy. Passionate people, like locals, family owned, family run. It's it's great. I love that place.
I prefer places like that rather than senior places. There's nothing wrong with senior places, but you want an experience.
And I've been to senior places and I always prefer the trattoria run by the, you know, the little family.
What about shopping? Like where is your favorite place to shop? Do you like maybe like a flea market, or what would you recommend?
So for shopping, there's a couple of cute boutique stores near Campo dei Fiori that I love. The street is called Via dei Giubbonari.
Okay.
And I don't remember the name of the stores. In fact, like a lot of the stores, especially the boutique ones, don't even have signs. So you kind of just pop in, you shop, which is exactly
you
what
gotta
I do.
Stumble upon it.
Yeah, cute.
You'll have to take Kate, show her exactly.
I know.
Yes. But I also love not just clothes shopping, but like ceramic shopping. There's the cutest little shop that I'm obsessed with. They import all the ceramics from Puglia. It's called Bunky 141. So they have the most beautiful ceramics. I love going. It's dangerous. I try not to go there because I always walk out with something. But I'm very into decor and decorating. Yeah. I like to entertain. So I love having like nice ceramics and platters to serve food on and plates and vases. Yeah. Another must in Rome is to wake up early one morning and go get a maritozzo, which is basically a yeasty bun cut in half and filled with like a generous dollop of whipped cream. And the best place to get it in Rome is this little pasticceria called Pasticceria Regoli. You should get there early because they do sell out, but it's fantastic. It's like this like soft cloud with like this delicately sweet whipped cream, and it's the perfect Roman breakfast. Yeah. And I wrote an article for Italy Secreta on these, but there's a really cute story attached to it. Like the first Friday of every March, men would conceal an engagement ring in Maritozzo and a Maritozzo to propose to their wives.
Yeah.
That's why it's called.
And so, yeah, it's a Maritozzo, yeah, means husband.
Oh,
that is so cute.
Love that.
That is a good story.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay, gotta go try.
It's a really charming tradition.
Just this, immediately you wake up and you have this gorgeous pastry for breakfast. Like, yes, exactly. Italy, yes.
Yep. Yeah, wake up, get a pastry, sit on a bench, watch, or in a piazza, watch the city wake up, people watch. My another piece of advice is just to move at a slow pace. Do as the Romans would do. Like, don't plan too much. Don't cram too much. It's important to see the sights, but also important to leave a few hours to spontaneity and just walk around and sit in a piazza.
So true.
And eat good food.
What is your favorite bar that you say, like, you have to go have a spritzer?
Okay. I love this little bar called Goccetto on I think it's on Via Giulia. And it's like a quintessential Italian bar. The sign outside says like vino e olio, and you'll see people. You see people like inside the bar, but also outside with their glasses drinking because it's always crowded. But another bar that's a little bit more, you have more success at getting a table at, is called Latteria in Trastevere. This is where you can drink a random Sardinian grape you didn't even know existed, and like a funky orange wine. Yeah. They like rotate, have a constant. We'll see you then. They always have like a constant rotation of wines, and they're artisanal, natural wines. And the food, they have small plates. So like there's this toast that they put like a huge dollop of stracciatella cheese and anchovies on top, and that and a glass of wine. That's all you need. So that's another great bar you should definitely go to.
Okay.
Wow. Love that.
It's on the list.
Sold. Done. Perfect. Yeah.
It's on the list. Any other things that, any other advice that you can give to people going to Rome for the first time? Obviously, it's so extensive, but maybe just something that you're like, don't miss this.
One of my favorite things to do is to go to I Fori Imperiali, which are right by the like ancient ruins, right by the Colosseum. Back in the day, they served as like the center of political, religious, and social life in the city. And I love going at like golden hour sunset and just walking through. Like, you can start at the ruins and make your way down to the Colosseum, and you'll always hear like someone playing a guitar, strumming a guitar and singing, and the birds will be flying. It's beautiful. The light strikes the buildings with this luscious shade of gold, and you're just like bathed in the light, and it's magical. So I love, unfortunately there's construction going on right now, and I don't know when it stops, but I still recommend going and seeing it.
But wow, just like thinking about, you said sitting in these ruins at golden hour, you're just like watching birds overhead, and you're like, wow, like what a moment, because you're like, wow, we're here for a blip in time, and like how lucky and privileged we are to be able to go to these beautiful places and have these experiences and like have these dreams and goals, and like you making that happen, like that is it's so incredible to hear. Like, wow, this is, it's been so nice.
It's
talking
inspiring
to you today.
Thanks.
Like, I really just needed to hear this, so
good. I'm glad. I feel like, you know, and I would see all these people creating, I was always inspired by stories of like people creating these beautiful lives for themselves. And I was like, I want to do that. And it takes time. But yeah, I feel like what you mentioned before, Kate, like as long as you're open to like receiving signs, and, you know, I think like you can make it happen if you want it enough,
if you
dream about it, then, you know, I think it's important to take risks in life. It's nerve-wracking, but it's always worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And if you fail, you always learn a good lesson.
Yeah, then it's not for you.
Or
you learn your lesson,
Or sometimes you get a little off track, and then it's like, okay, wait, I need to recenter. Like, what do I ultimately want?
It's
and
true.
that guides
Like it
you a little bit.
took me like 10 years to move here. I mean, I talked about it for a decade and I'm finally here, and it was not easy, but things align when they're supposed to. So it's important to have patience and to, always, this sounds cheesy, but always keep your dreams alive, because it's so true. Like if you keep chasing that dream, the universe helps you conspire and reach that goal. So I think, for anyone looking to change careers, their life, I say go for it. I think it's really get one shot at life. And being in Rome, like you said, Kat, I do feel so blessed every day to be in this beautiful ancient city with such history and beauty. And it's so fulfilling and magical and so inspiring. Like I feel like I have a lot of passions, like writing, and here, like it just comes alive.
And now you worked so long to get here. And now that you're here, like everything can be open up to you.
Yeah.
Like everything that you want.
Exactly.
Annie, do you have a recommendation for us today?
Yes. So of course, my recommendation is a wine. Great. And you'll be happy to hear. It's from Etna, Mount Etna. So the other night I went to this restaurant in Rome and I had a bottle of Aiunta Etna Rosso Navigabile is the name of the wine. The producer's name is Aiunta, and it was fantastic. It was juicy, dark fruit, but like still earthy. It had like that perfect balance of juiciness, fruitiness, and earthiness. And also, I don't know how to, I call it volcanic ash, like this texture. It's kind of like a chalky texture, and it's mineral laden, and it was fantastic. And it like bright acidity, and it was still powerful. Like you can really feel the energy of Mount Etna in this wine. It's powerful.
Wow.
Aesthetic, but at the same time, so elegant and balanced.
Okay.
So that's my wine recommendation.
Sounds incredible.
And the story
Thank you so much.
Behind the winemaker is pretty inspiring. So his name is Filippo Mangione, and he grew up in Agrigento, the southern coast of Sicily. And he came from a family of winemakers, but his grandfather passed away in the 60s, and the family ended up selling the vineyards and the estate. So Filippo went on to do, you know, he worked as a waiter, he worked as a sommelier, import, export, selling wine. But the more he sold other people's wines, the more he was inspired to kind of revive his family's legacy. He had made a bunch of trips to and from Etna, and he met this elderly man who had an abandoned vineyard in Mount Etna. And he got to talking with this man, and he asked if he could buy the property. And the man was like, yes, take it. Like, don't let this vineyard die. So he took all of his life savings, bought this vineyard, and now he makes wines. And they're all very like handcrafted. He doesn't use any pesticides or chemicals. He doesn't add anything to the wine. And they really show like the pure energy and terroir, we say in the wine world, of Mount Etna. And they're beautiful, beautiful expressions of the area. So that's my wine recommendation.
Wow. Love that.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Wow. You'll have to drink it and report back.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's our homework.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, so tough.
And just to wrap everything up, do you have a word of the day? Normally we end with a word of the day.
Yes. My word of the day is in Roman dialect. It's shalla, and it means like no stress, calm down, take it easy. Shalla.
That is so
perfect.
Beautiful.
Good reminder.
I love that. Yeah.
Exactly. Shalla. Good reminder.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
This was so inspiring. I love our new friend,
Annie.
Yes. I know. I've been dying to meet you guys virtually. So finally have. I can't wait till we meet in person.
I know.
In March. And then, Kat, you have to make your way to Italy.
I'll be over there. Don't you worry about that.
This has been lovely. I love
so wonderful.
And also, I love your guys' podcast. I mean, you obviously know that, but I have to say, when I listen to it, I'm always like glued to the edge of my seat, like waiting for what's to come. You have like, you both are so eloquent, and you guys have this way of like beautiful. You're really good storytellers. You are, because you keep
it
like, interesting. Yeah. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Like, your podcast is my favorite.
Really
I love it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so, so much, Annie.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Long time coming.
Yeah. I know.
Words can't explain.
I know.
This was so wonderful.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. It's been such an honor to be. I told you guys how much I love the podcast. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
I tune into all the episodes. So I'm so honored.
Thank you.
On the pod.
Grazie mille.
Grazie mille. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Ciao.
Ciao.